This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
In Kansas anymore.
Hey, Daddy, I want an Oompa Loompa. I want you to get me an Oompa Loompa right away.
All right, Ruka, all right. I'll get you one before the day's out.
I want an Oompa Loompa now!
E.T. phone home.
Come on, Dover! Move your blooming arse!
To infinity and beyond!
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
La la la, la la la. La, 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 la.
Lisa, I want some more.
What is it you can't face?
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun, and snap, the job's a game.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Casting Couch. My name is Thomas Caldwell. The show is being produced and panelled by Alan Tuxford, and our guest presenter today is Byron Tompkins.
Hello.
G'day, Byron.
Hello, yes, thank you.
I'm actually rather glad to be here, since about 30 seconds ago I managed to crash all the computers in the studio through tinkering. I probably shouldn't say that over the airwaves, but we all went a bit pale there.
Yes, I think my face sort of gave it away when the screen just went blank.
Hey, thank you to Lisa and Sue for 2 hours of terrific programming with the Women's Zone, and a big thank you to Murray for looking after the news. Now, in the first hour, Byron, we're going to cover the remaining films that came out in January. They all got a cinema release on Thursday, would be the day. What are those films?
Okay, well, we'll be looking at Law Abiding Citizen, mm-hmm. Being in Heaven, and The Road.
That's right. And then in the second hour, we're going to do a bit of an overview just of what's come out in January in both cinema and DVD, and anything that's sort of playing at the moment that we both recommend people should try to catch if they haven't seen it yet. So look, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the show, just to tell us what you've seen recently, what have been your highlights for the past month, or what you've, you know, gone to see in the cinema in the past couple of weeks and want to talk about, please get in touch, let us know. You can always get in touch with us by SMSing on 0427-JOY-949. You can phone us on 1300-JOY-949 and email onair@joy.org.au. Now then, what are we doing next in the second hour, Byron? Once we do a January retrospective, we're going to look at a February film.
Yes,
we're
going to look at Daybreakers.
Yeah, Australian directors.
Australian directors, filmed in Australia, as is quite apparent in the film. So
Yeah, actually, we've got two films today by Australian directors, because The Road, which is the hotly anticipated film adaptation of the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, is also directed by an Australian, John Hillcoat, who did The Proposition. So, and the other thing I wanted to talk about is, I mean, I don't know if other presenters say this often on air, but it's APRA week at Joy at the moment. Yeah, so what that means, APRA are the body who basically regulate Australian music usage on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Stop me if I get this horribly wrong.
So it's Australian and New Zealand music, funnily enough.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, no, because I didn't program any New Zealand music.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I don't know if the Kiwis are aware that their music counts towards Australian music content on Australian radio.
That must annoy them, doesn't it? We're very selective about that.
Yes.
So Russell Crowe was ours for a while, and then when he started annoying us, he went, he's New Zealand after
all. Send him back to Mount Roskill.
Yeah. So anyway, it's APRA week, which means we have to really fastidiously record all the music we play, and that's because it gets sent to official bodies, and all the artists we play get a bit of cash.
Exactly.
So I'm going to play not only just Australian music, but Melbourne music. So a whole range of different musicians who, you know, there's going to be some electronica in there, some dance, some folk, some rock and roll, a whole range of Melbourne-born music you'll be hearing on the show today. And in the second hour, I'm going to do a tribute to music scored by Nick Cave. Melbourne's own sort of bad boy rock and roller has done a lot of film compositions over the past decade. So we're going to play some of the music he's written specifically for film. And one of them, of course, is The Road. Now, we're doing some giveaways as well later in the show, Byron.
Yes, we have 5 in-season double passes to The Road, courtesy of CG Publicity, and we also have a very special DVD of the week, the September issue, courtesy of our friend at Madman Entertainment.
Exactly. We're going to talk a little bit about the September issue DVD in the second hour as well. Here's the catch, though. I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I.
So you know what we're going to do? We're going to turn the microphone around the desk and get producer panellist Alan Tuxford on air.
Now, this is a program first, folks. Like,
yep.
If you've been quite a regular listener, you would have heard us referring to Alan holding up little handwritten cue cards to us of what his thoughts are. But no, today's the day. He is going to talk.
Yes, I've been looking forward to this ever since I started doing the show about this time last year. So it will be a first. Okay, details about how to win all the prizes, though, will happen later in the show. So you'll have to just listen in for that. Okay, let's get into some music. I'm going to play a song that I can't believe I haven't played this before because it's a very cinematic song. It's by the Avalanches. Do you remember them, the DJ outfit from Melbourne?
No.
Okay, I reckon you might recognise this song. They were the first of the real hardcore mashup guys where they made music by taking bits and pieces from a whole bunch of songs and sticking it together. And the song I'm going to play you is called Frontier Psychiatrist, and it's full of lots of funny sound effects and lines from various television shows and film. If you listen closely at the start, you can hear a bit of the Lawrence of Arabia theme in there.
Okay.
I 10 years old. I can't believe it's been that long. I used to love this song, so I'm rather excited to be playing it now. You're listening to Thomas and Byron here on the Casting Couch on Joy 94.9. That's Emily Ullman, a Melbourne-based singer-songwriter. It sort of sounds a little bit Nico Case. It's sort of no coincidence that she has supported her. And that's from Emily Ullman's 2003 album Upping the Ante. You're listening to The Casting Couch here with Thomas and Byron. Now, Byron, we're going to talk about a rather curious film called Law Abiding Citizen. Now, it's curious because I think it messes with genre a bit. Okay, I'm going to try to explain it.
Yeah.
Without getting too convoluted, because it's a film that has quite a few twists and turns. But it starts off looking like it's going to be your classic vigilante vengeance film. A guy, the legal system fails him, his wife and child are brutally murdered, and the legal system manages to incarcerate one of the guys and the other one gets away on a plea bargain. So our hero, who is played by Gerald Butler... What do you reckon his most famous film is? 300, wouldn't it?
I, as soon as he came on screen, I'm like, ooh, King Leonidas.
Yeah, that's the This Is Sparta
yes.
guy from 300, yeah. And he was also in The Ugly Truth, for those of you who are into that kind of thing. And Rock and Roller, the Guy Ritchie film as well. So he's been you know, let down by the legal system, and the killers have sort of gotten away too easy. Cut 10 years later, he wreaks bloody revenge on them. And this is where the vigilante film, it starts to edge into sort of Saw, Science of the Lambs territory, as he gets a bit serial killer.
Yes.
And then he gets a bit terrorist, as he decides to bring down the system by killing every single lawyer and judge involved in what he regards as the failure to prosecute these guys.
Yes.
What did you make of this film?
Off the bat, I tend not to be the biggest fan of American thrillers. I think a lot of other countries do it a lot better. But I was quite impressed and surprised with this film. I did actually really enjoy it. And I did like the sort of the twists and turns and just how there was little bits of everything all pieced in.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't that enthusiastic about it in the end, because for me, it sort of wasn't completely trashy enough to enjoy it on a really silly level. And at the same time, I just thought, are they making this up as they go? Like, it felt a little bit random, and it was almost as if there's one scene where it's as if the writers said, I don't think the audience are convinced that this guy can pull this stuff off. Let's quickly write in a character who pops in to give us some backstory, and then we'll move on.
Yes.
Yes, I found it a little silly, and it got really nasty too.
Oh yeah, no, it was. There's one particular scene when a phone call is taken, and myself and every other person sitting in that cinema jumped about 10 feet.
Yeah, it makes you think twice about using your phone, doesn't it?
Because it just the way it just happened, it was just like bang. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I won't tell you exactly what goes down, but it's pretty full on. And I mean, the other thing about this film is the other big twist is he gets put in jail, and yet the body counts continue. So he's sort of this mastermind who's somehow orchestrating all this stuff from his prison cell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of Jamie Foxx? Jamie Foxx plays the attorney who was representing him, who basically does the plea bargain at the start of the film that puts one guy in jail and lets the other one go free, who sort of becomes both the main target and the guy trying to capture him.
As far as I can recall, I think this is actually the first film that I've sat down and watched and actually paid attention to that he's been in.
Oh, okay.
He's not normally someone who I would go, ooh, a Jamie Foxx film, I better go and watch that. I'm just trying to think what else. None of the other ones that are really on his list, Shade and Miami Vice, Dreamgirls, none of those films I've actually seen.
Oh, I think you'd like Dreamgirls. That was good. Okay. He Miami Vice, of course, the Michael Mann film, and his big breakthrough, I think, was Collateral, where he plays the taxi driver that Tom Cruise kidnaps and makes drive around to shoot people. I think he does a decent performance in this. I couldn't really embrace this film. I sort of found it a little silly, but I suspect a lot of people will enjoy it. What are you going to give this?
I'm going to give it 3.5 rocket launches.
Yeah. Why hit a car with machine gun fire if you're then going to turn around and hit it with a rocket launcher? Just cut straight to the rocket launcher. Or am I being a pedant? Maybe I am.
It's all part of the build-up to it. It's like,
you're right.
You think it's over, but wait, there's more.
Yeah, no, that's a fair call, actually. Why not use a machine gun?
Yeah.
That does look cool, having a robot with a machine gun. I can't share your enthusiasm. I'm only going to give it a 2.
Okay.
But that's Law Abiding Citizen, which is on everywhere.
Yep.
Check the papers if that sounds like your cup of chai. Now, we're going to keep listening to music from Melbourne. This is a song that you may probably have heard. It was rather popular throughout the last couple of years. This is Midnight Juggernauts with Shadows. You're on Joy 94.9. This is The Casting Couch with Thomas and Byron. You're on The Casting Couch with Thomas and Byron. Now, Byron, I'm going to have to get you to sort of lead the conversation on this next film, because I was unable to see it, and I've got to confess, a little bit suspicious. And
yes,
it's a really curious-looking film called Being in Heaven.
Yeah, your suspicions are well and truly grounded and founded, I would say.
Because I normally... I think it's really bad to watch a trailer of a film and judge the film based on the trailer, but that's what I did in this case, and it sounds like it was a good move.
Yeah, the film sort of starts off with the main character... Oh, what's his name again? Let me just see.
Choking Man, it says there on IMDb.
No. That must be
first listed.
Jason Masterman is a...
Masterman.
Masterman. He's a stock trader in New York, and everything's gone to custard, and the local, because of the GFC, and the local sheriff's department has come to repossess all of his possessions in the name of the state liquidator's office, and so he decides to go back to Australia and gets a gig as a... just doing some freelance... magazine story writing, and has to interview this writer by the name of Michael. Now, this is where the film actually stops to be a film. This is a self-help seminar.
Okay.
This person, Michael Domenico Roland, is a self-help, one of these people that it's all about reprogramming your mind and all this and all that sort of stuff. And it's 90 minutes of this, like, this made-up interview, like this interview that goes between the two in a restaurant, and it's truth day at the restaurant, so you've got to speak the truth on all levels, and everyone...
It's a bit like Lie, Lie with Jim Carrey.
No, it's...
Or you wish it was.
We were sitting there this morning, and I actually felt like, when did Castlereagh Street in Sydney come into my lounge room along with its Scientologist trying to get me to do their Dianetics survey?
So, what's Castlereagh Street?
That's where the Scientologists hang out in Sydney and ambush people as they're walking past.
So, really, it felt a little bit cultish then?
Oh, this kind definitely.
Definitely. Okay, so it's not just... personal growth stuff.
It's
our chapter and wear Nikes and drink Kool-Aid and then kill yourself when the sun is at...
Not to that extreme, but it's like if you look on the website for the film, it's like it's screening at the Cheval Cinema. And then you've got the Palace here and the Palace in Brisbane.
Okay, but so like, it's one cinema per capital city.
Yeah, but you get to the thing and it's like, once you've paid for the cinema ticket for the film, look, put in all your details here and we'll send you your free book.
And wow, so
the companion book is obviously how you start getting into their seminars and stuff.
Okay, so this is really curious. So it is basically a self-help seminar.
Yeah.
But it's been disguised as a film and marketed as come and see this curious new age film.
Yeah, but it's really a little bit sneaky. It's just an interview between the two of them, and this guy Michael's just constantly going on about all of his whole sort of self-help thing and reprogramming your mind and getting rid of the negativity, and you are what you make of yourself. And it's like, hello, I know all this stuff.
So Michael is the guy who, in the trailer who hurls the crystal ball with a dove in it at the screen. I saw that in the trailer with the beard.
Yes, he has with a beard. The guy with the beard.
They always do have a beard.
I know.
It's a Messiah thing. It's a Jesus thing, maybe. People who are genuinely into self-help, though, do you think they will get something out of this film?
Oh, they may do.
Yeah.
They may do.
It's hard to judge, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think the key here is, though, this is not a cinematic film experience. This is a self-help
seminar. Exactly. It's a self-help seminar loosely veiled as a film.
Yeah. It's a bit sneaky. Mm. I reckon people should go check out. The website is beinginheaven.com.au, and if you watch the trailer and read some of the stuff on that website, you'll probably find out whether this film is for you or not. Yeah, I made the call and said it wasn't really for me. It sounds like that was a good move. Guessing it wasn't for you either, Byron.
No. It's like, as I was saying to our producer, Alan, here earlier today, it was myself, Josh, and the two cats, and even the two cats had their jaws open.
Is it possible to give this a rating?
I'm going to say no.
No, okay.
No, this is a non-rated review.
Enough said. Let's move on to some more music. Last week I played the Orb Weavers, and quite a few people who follow me on Twitter actually made a point of getting in touch. Now, there's no Casting Couch Twitter feed, but there is a Cinema Autopsy account on Twitter, which is moi. And quite a few people did make a point of saying that Orb Weavers' song was divine. Thank you. They are a Melbourne outfit. I'm playing Melbourne music today, so here's another song by the Orb Weavers. Up to Your Neck. You're listening to Thomas and Byron here on Joy 94.9. Will you be long? Saturday night. It is Saturday night, but that's also the name of that song by local Melbourne band 16mm. A very filmic sounding name, actually. I'm surprised I haven't played that song before. You're listening to The Casting Couch with Thomas and Byron here on Joy 94.9. And if you like 16mm, have a look out for a band called The Single Men's Drinking Club. That's the name. Same, Tom Hoskins leads both bands, and Single Men's Drinking Club is sort of like a more rockier, dirtier, louder, noisier version of that sort of thing. Now, speaking all things Australian, we are going to talk about a film now that's directed by John Hillcoat. Now, this is the guy who previously did things such as The Proposition, which I think is one of the best films in the past 10 years. He also directed Ghosts of the Civil Dead. John Hillcoat. This new film, The Road, is an adaptation of Cormac McCarthy's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, and it's come with an amazing amount of expectation and, I think, nervousness. This is one of those books, Byron, that people love. And, you know, literary folk, they're a bit like comic book fans. They cling on to their original text and they get very worried if it's distorted.
Yes.
Now, before we even talk about whether the film's any good or not, one thing I will say quite plainly, and I have seen the film and read the book and spoken to people who have done the same, is it is incredibly faithful. To the point where somebody has said, is this redundant? Which I think is really harsh. But it's an incredibly faithful adaptation. Now, the story is about as simple as it comes. It's set in a post-apocalyptic future. We've got no idea what's happened. It's sort of not even the point. And it's about a father and his son trying to survive, travelling the road on the lookout from cannibalists, rapists, murderers, and just trying to keep it together. And every now and then, these brief moments of humanity shine through. And that's kind of what the film and the book is about, these bits of hope amongst the incredible bleakness. What did you make of this, Byron?
I didn't enjoy it at all.
No, okay.
Not in the slightest. It was, from a character point, I've never read the book, but just from a character point of view, I just found it's like,
I should just say, whether you've read the book or not, actually, I think it's irrelevant. We're talking about the film in its own right.
We're talking about the film in its own right.
Yep.
From a scripting point of view, the characters I just found too wishy-washy. It's like, it's the end of the world as you know it. Harden up, cupcakes. It's like the main character's snivelling and whiny and sobbing his eyes out at one point, and I just wanted to smack him round the head and say, survival's tough, get over it. And the son, it's like...
They're on the run from cannibalist rapists.
Yeah, but even... And even, like, the kid, it's like the constant, Papa, Papa, it's not 1942 and you're not Dutch.
Okay, wow. I had such a different experience with this film. This film left me trembling and upset and really amazed, because I think it's... what I got out of this film is it's a testament to the human experience, and it's about parental love. It's, like I said, it's all those moments of humanity that shine out throughout the bleakness.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I think if you went into this with the wrong expectations, for whatever reason, some of the pre-publicity of this film has been terrible. They've tried to build it as an action adventure. It's really not.
It's not.
It's an arty film. I mean, let's just say it right now. This is an art house film. So I think that will... be a major downer, but I was just overcome, and I thought it was a beautiful film in all its bleakness. I think it's immaculately shot.
Oh yeah, look, I'll give it that. It's shot well. Just for me, it was the story itself that just didn't do it for me.
It's a fair call. I mean, there's actually not a lot of story there. It is a series of sort of monotonous moments punctuated by extreme scenes of violence or you know, every now and then something actually quite beautiful and wonderful happens. So Viggo Mortensen plays the lead character, just the man. Viggo Mortensen, people will know as Aragorn from the Lord of the Rings films. He was also in David Cronenberg's Eastern Promises and The History of Violence. I really liked him. And so you just found him a bit wet.
Not him, the character.
The character, sure.
The character. And so, like, to considering the type of character that was being played, I think Viggo did very well, because we know him as this sort of a lot more hard and staunch in Lord of the Rings, where this character that he's playing is just so wishy-washy and bleh.
But you see, he's not a hero. He's not... I mean, we're used to seeing sort of Mad Max types or John Connor types from the Terminator films kicking ass. He's just a guy. Yeah. I mean, he's probably, you know, I don't reckon I would survive a second in that world. I thought he was tough compared to me.
I was sitting there going, oh, you should have just gone outside with your wife.
Yeah, yeah. No, not to put too much of a spoiler there, because there's flashbacks about what happens to his wife, played by
Charlize Theron.
Say that again?
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, I'll never pronounce that right. Yeah, she's in there as well. Robert Duvall, I think, has a really strong cameo. What did you make of the... We don't want to give away the ending, but the ending has... Even people who are fans of the film haven't liked the ending so much. What did you make of it? Or did you, by that point, just think, come on, I want to go home?
Yeah, because, like, I have never yet walked out of a film.
Mm-hmm.
I actually stood up. I sat back down, but I did actually stand up in this film, so I came close.
And it was...
But the ending was just kind of like...
Okay.
So, yeah, it's done.
Well, for the record, I mean, like I said, I do think this is a strong film, and I think the ending is going to divide people, but I think it's okay. I think it suits the tone of the film. So it wasn't so much the bleakness of the film. You just found it tedious. It was more the tedium than the bleakness.
It's like, and look, this possibly comes from me spending 4 years in military service and going through survival training, and just the whole wishy-washiness of it all was just like, as I said, I just felt the characters needed to harden up.
Yeah.
And look,
it's not that kind of film.
I know it's not that kind of film. I realise that, but it's like, it's probably something that if I had the choice, I would not choose to go and see personally.
Okay. Well, fair play. I loved it. And I mean, I think it's the strongest thing I've seen this year. But hey, that's the beauty of doing this. We have different tastes.
Yes,
it is. So what are you going to... Oh, I don't want to know. What are you going to give this out of 5, Byron?
Well, look, I'm not going to be too harsh on it, considering it was a really good play by Viggo with the character that he had to work with. So I'm going to give it 2.5 Fallout Shelters.
Oh, okay. Well, that's respectable. I'm giving it a whopping 4. because I really did like it. I reckon people should go and see both The Road and Law Abiding Citizen, and then they'll know which one of us to side on. If we have a serious falling out,
yes, exactly.
And we start screaming abuse, people, when they've seen those two films, they'll know who to gang up against.
Yep.
Deal?
Deal. Done.
Thanks, Byron. We're going to play some music from The Road now. Did you like the music?
I don't remember any of it. That's the impression this film had on me.
Oh, dear. Well, we're going to play a bit of music from The Road, a track called The Road. This is composed by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis, and we'll be hearing more music by Nick Cave in the second hour. You're listening to The Casting Couch, here with Thomas and Byron on Joy 94.9. Now, we're going to keep playing music by Melbourne musicians now. Here's a piece of music by David Hirschfelder. This is from the soundtrack to Strictly Ballroom. It's a really lovely little piece called Doug's Tearful Waltz. You're on The Casting Couch with Thomas and Byron.
Hello, my name is Adam Elliott, and I'm the writer and director of the very overrated Harvey Crumpet and Mary and Max. And you used to be above my dad's hardware shop in South Melbourne, but now you've moved to much more luxurious studios. And you're listening to Joy 94.9.
I wish I could meet Adam Elliott again and tell him it's not overrated. It's a damn fine film. Don't put yourself down, man. You're back on The Casting Couch with Thomas and Byron here on Joy 94.9. And Byron, I thought we should do just a bit of an overview about what's come out in the cinema and on DVD in January, what our highlights are.
Fantastic idea.
Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, well, should we start off with the films that have come out this month?
Yeah, we don't want to run through them all. No, I think just personal highlights.
So, well, yeah, Brand New Day, that actually, it surprised me with its sort of quirky and corniness so much that I did enjoy it.
That's the one that everybody loves except for me. I might try and see it again, actually.
Yeah, what else have we got? There's a few that I haven't seen that I really wish I had have seen. The Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. What else we got? Tooth Fairy, yeah, did that.
Wasn't that
impressed. Now, one that one of the other guys here in the studio was just talking to us about, In the Loop. It's a dark comedy set in sort of British politics, apparently.
We reviewed it last week. Maureen and I spoke about it. That's on my list of highlights.
Okay, I must check that one out.
That is sensational, yeah. I'll add to my list as well, The Road, but that's just me. We won't continue. And the other film that I think's really missed everyone's radar, and maybe it's because it got released on New Year's Day, is the latest Disney film, The Princess and the Frog. Old school 2D animation. It's really delightful.
Okay.
And also, it's still playing in the cinemas from December, A Bright Star and Avatar are just two of the most sensational films I've seen in the past bit.
Yes, I still have not gotten to see Avatar.
I can't believe you haven't seen Avatar for all people. Make sure you get the
3D version.
You need a 3D, yes. Yep. All right, what about on DVD? Has anything popped along that caught your eye?
The DVDs that are showing up as being released in January are Beautiful Kate.
Yeah,
so the Australian film.
That is worth seeing.
Fighting, a martial arts one. Not sure of that film. Two Lovers, Joaquin Phoenix and Gwyneth Paltrow.
That was on my top 10 films from 2009. Okay. So I've actually already bought myself a copy of that. just a really strong, intelligent drama. That's a brilliant DVD to get your hands on.
Okay, I must check it out. And there's another one, Australian one here, Van Diemen's Land.
We had the director, writer and the lead actor on the show.
Yeah,
it's sort of an arty horror film with a cannibal theme.
Yeah.
I'm a bit worried about recommending anything to you, though, because
this cannibalism theme starting to crop up a bit lately.
Cannibalism is all the rage, yeah.
I know.
Well, with overpopulation, we're going to have to start eating each other.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's one that our pretty lovely producer Alan's going to be talking about shortly. Coming up is the September issue.
Yeah, one I haven't seen yet either. In fact, before I do my DVD, my other picks on DVD, why don't we do this?
Yes.
Because it's also Joy 94.9's DVD of the week.
Yes.
Thanks to Man Man Entertainment. And we're about to do a giveaway. Alan, are you mic'd up?
Yes, I am.
Oh, it's so great hearing your voice on the air.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. That doesn't sound right, does it? Tell us, what's the deal with September issue? What is it?
Well, essentially, it's a documentary looking at how the September issue is conceived, planned, and the whole operation that goes into actually getting it published.
And this is for Vogue magazine.
That's correct.
Vogue America.
For Vogue America. Yep. But that's what it is on the surface. But really, it's really a character piece about Anna Wintour, who's the editor-in-chief of American Vogue.
Mm-hmm.
And it also looks really at her relationship with her staff in terms of Grace Coddington, who is her creative editor in particular. And so it's really the dynamic between the two of them.
Now, my understanding was that Anna Wintour was the real-life inspiration behind...
Meryl Streep's character.
Yeah, yep. Is it Miranda? No, yeah.
The Meryl Streep's character, I can't remember.
The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you can see a lot of similarities between Anna and Meryl Streep in that as well. But Anna, I think, it comes off as with a bad rap, I think.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because she's got a reputation for being a bit of a dragon lady,
mm-hmm.
but you don't think that's deserved?
No. Well, she's described in the pieces. Well, American Vogue is actually described as a church, and with Anna as the high priestess, but someone actually corrected that and said, no, she's really the Pope. I like to see Anna sort of portrayed herself really more as a reigning monarch. She was very regal. She would move in and she held audiences, and she really rules the roost. She's an autocrat, but a benevolent kind, I think.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, ruling such creative types, I think you have to have a tight rein on the hands. Tight hand on the reins.
Hand on the reins. Yes, hey, you are a casting coucher now. You're making funny little wordplays and tripping over lines. That's what we do best here.
Yeah.
It sounds really fascinating.
Well, I really enjoyed it because, yep. I mean, it's such a complex process.
Us mere mortals probably don't appreciate that.
Well, I mean, just the shoots that go into it, all of the editing meetings that go behind it, determining what the look is going to be, what clothes they're going to select, mm-hmm. the designers. It's really involved.
Yep.
And
you've learnt now how to pronounce...
Oh, yes.
You don't say fashion, do you?
No. I've realised that I've been putting the wrong emphasis on the word all my life. It's actually fashion.
Okay, let's try it.
Fashion.
Fashion. Yes. I love it.
So we heard that in the promo, actually, at 6 o'clock. So I thought that was very interesting. Yeah.
Sensational. Alan, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
We're going to do a giveaway of the September issue shortly. The other DVD that's been released in January I want to do a big shout-out to is the latest Pixar film, that probably sounded horrible down the mic, down the stereo, didn't it? But Up, the really gorgeous Pixar film about the old guy and the Boy Scout and the talking dog who have an adventure in some random place in South America. Pixar just keep kicking goals. And after WALL-E, I just think two of the strongest computer animated films ever made. So that'll be my two, Up. And we talked before about Two Lovers and my picks.
Yes.
All right. Let's do it. Let's give away the September issue. But we're not just giving away the September issue. We've got 5 double passes to The Road. So if you're on Team Thomas, you'll be excited. If you're on Team Byron, you'll think, well, they can make coasters at least. So first prize is going to be a copy of the September issue on DVD and a double pass to The Road. And then we've got 4 more in-season double passes of The Road to give away as consolation prizes. We're just going to do just get in touch with us and leave your details. We're going to need to know your name, your Joy number. Do have to be a Joy member. And you can't have won something from Joy in the past 2 weeks, okay? So keep that in mind. Byron, do you want to reel off the methods of contact for
me? Yes, you can send us an SMS on 0427-JOY-949. You can give us a call on 1300-JOY-949, or you can send us an email on air@joy.org.au.
Yeah, now don't panic. We'll keep the competition open until 6:30. So you've got about 12 minutes to get in touch. And at 6:30, we'll just put them into a metaphorical hat and pull out a name. You're listening to The Casting Couch here with Thomas and Byron. Some more music. Again, Melbourne music. This is Ollie Olson from the... Did I pronounce that right? Ollie Olson, rather, from the Dogs in Space soundtrack. This is Win Lose.
Hello, this is Julia Zamira from Rockquiz, and you're on the casting couch here on Joy, 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 Joy. I do mind sound effects.
That's right, you're back with Thomas and Byron. And now, we've covered all the films in January. We're going to cover a film that actually gets released next week. So this is the first February 2010 film being covered here on the casting couch. It's by Australians. It's got vampires in it.
Yes.
And quite a unique spin on the whole vampire thing. This is Daybreakers. Byron, I'd love you to tell us all about this. Sink okay. your teeth into it.
So, the year's 2019, and mm-hmm. and the world has been savaged by a virus which turns everyone into vampires. Now, we're at the point where there's probably something like 90% of the global population are vampires. There's only a small handful of the human population left.
The vampires have won.
The vampires have
We've
won,
We've never seen that before, have we? Where it's a vampire society
It's a, it's a vampire world. Everything happens at night. They've got special cars that are fitted to allow them to drive around during the day.
They're very cool.
But, yeah, we've got our... the humans are almost non-existent, and that means that the blood supply is going to run out.
Yeah,
which means that there's no food for the vampires, basically. And so, we have our main character,
played by Ethan Hawke.
Yes, played by Ethan Hawke, Edward Dalton, who is working on a blood substitute to try and come up with a synthetic blood substitute so the vampire race can continue to live, basically.
Yeah, and he's sort of one of these softy, feely, greeny types who doesn't believe in killing humans.
Yeah, no. Like, he's starting to resist the drinking of the blood, but for the vampires, not having the blood, it comes with its own problems as well. They they start to deform and mutate and...
And you know what's really cool? When they mutate, they start to resemble the vampires from the really early kind of German vampire films.
I was going to say, very Nosferatu in style.
Isn't that a really cool thing to do in
this
film?
It is indeed,
Yeah. So look, it's a really interesting, inventive film. And they look at things like vampire sociology and physiology and just sort of all these... They go the next step with what a vampire world would be like. Nice little touches, such as, you know, the whole vampires being invisible thing.
Yeah.
Well, in this film, they are invisible, but you can still see their clothes.
Oh, in the reflections.
You can't see their reflections.
Yes.
So you see just the clothes, because, of course,
exactly
that's how it would work, isn't it? Your clothes don't suddenly lose their reflectiveness.
Just the vampires do, It's one of those films that does sort of play up to all of those sort of vampire cliches. Like, as you said,
they do their own little spin on them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. This kind of futuristic corporate vampire thing we have seen before. I think this takes it a bit further, but it did remind me a little bit of things like the Blade films,
yes,
with that kind of techno look, and the Angel, the TV series Angel, which was a spin-off from Buffy,
yes,
because they had the whole thing about the evil lawyers being in with the demons and sort of this corporate vampire thing, which I still love it. You can tell I'm a Buffy fan. This is directed by Michael and Peter Spierig. They're Queensland brothers. And have you seen their first film?
Their first film was...
2003, I think. Yeah, 2003 science fiction zombie film called Undead.
No, I was living overseas at that point of time and
didn't hear of it. Yeah, it's up there with things like Evil Dead 2 and Dawn of the Dead. It's just a great over-the-top zombie film and quite smart in its own way as well, a bit like Daybreakers.
I must admit, from a technical point of view with this film, it was like... It's all done to be America and everything, but from someone who actually lived part of their childhood in Queensland, there's a certain scene when they drive out through what is obviously the Queensland countryside and the car parks under a Moreton Bay fig.
Right.
And at that point, I've just gone, oh, this is filmed in Australia.
Yeah, well,
at that point, I didn't actually know where it was filmed.
Oh, okay. I have really divided opinions about this film because I liked it conceptually and think it's brilliant. The ideas are so clever, but I think it somewhat lacks something in some of the execution. And I wanted to like it so much more, but I found some of the effects were a bit overly CGI reliant, and the attempts at humour... I don't know what it was like in the cinema when you saw it, but all the attempts at humour in my cinema just was very quiet in the cinema. It didn't work. Because William Dafoe's in it.
Yeah,
And he's sort of your wise cracking character, and it just didn't quite work.
Yeah, no, it's very much... It is more, I think, American-styled in its sense of humour, and I didn't find I laughed that much. I laughed at the things that... It was a bit of a splatterfest at times, and that's the things that I laughed at, the sort of the explosions of blood and whatnot.
Builds up to just an orgy of bloodlust, and I mean, there's some really full-on scenes. Yeah, it did just some of the... I found a bit of it clunky. Yeah, had a little bit clunky, which attracted for me. It was a pity because I wanted to like it more. But still, really inventive film, and it's quite an extraordinary film to be coming from Australia. Yeah, I was quite excited to see Australian names all over this.
Exactly. It's quite fun. And also, like, yeah, it's Jay LaGaia as a vampire.
Who, sorry?
Jay LaGaia. He's one of the senators. Jay LaGaia was in a Kiwi series called Street Legal, but he was also in Water Rats in Australia. He was the big Polynesian guy.
And, of course, Sam Neill's also in this.
Sam Neill, Claudia Carvin. Yeah. It's quite an Australian and Kiwi cast popping up in there.
So out of five, what are you going to give it?
Probably, I'm gonna give it three subwalks.
Hey, we agree! Yeah. That's exactly what I'm going to give it. A sort of strong, high-ish three.
Yes.
Okay, that's Daybreakers. That's going to be on everywhere next Thursday. Now, all music from Melbourne artists on the show today. And because we've reviewed The Road and already played a bit of music from The Road, I'm going to now do a bit of a tribute to music by Nick Cave. And I'm going to play a whole bunch of songs which aren't on his albums, like not his studio kind of albums that he's released as himself, but they pop up on various bits and pieces and soundtracks. And I think you should hear lots of diverse music now over the next sort of 20 minutes or so. We're going to start off with some music from The Proposition, which is the Australian Western that Cave also wrote. Sort of a bit of a jarring piece of music on the surface, and underneath a very lyrical, beautiful piano. That's a piece of music simply called The Proposition Number 2. Then we're going to listen to some more music from The Road, a piece of music called The Beach, and we're going to end this bracket with a song he sings on called Cassiel's Song, which is from the German film Far Away, So Close. You're listening to The Carson Couch with Thomas and Byron here on Joy 94.9. You're on the Carson Couch with Thomas and Byron. Now, we have stopped taking entries for the September issue DVD giveaway and The Road ticket giveaway. We're going to do a draw while we play you some more music, and so the winners will be announced at the end of the show. Now, just backtracking there, in case you've only just joined us, we have been listening to music by Nick Cave from his various film scores. Let's go in reverse order. Before the messages, we had Cassiel's Song by Nick Cave from Far Away, So Close. Before that, we had The Beach, one of the pieces of music Nick Cave collaborated with Warren Ellis on from The Road. And before that, another Cave Ellis composition, The Proposition Number 2 from the film The Proposition. Let's keep playing Nick Cave music. We're going to have some more music by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis now. This is a bit of music they did for the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. That's a long, long film title. That's by Australian director Andrew Dominic, and it's a piece of music called Song for Jesse. And then we're going to play, you know, the song Red Right Hand by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. You've probably heard it lots of times before, but we're going to play the extended orchestral over-the-top version that was specially recorded for Scream 3. So I hope you enjoy these two bits of music here on Joy 94.9. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds there with another Melbourne, originally from Melbourne, singer-songwriter-performer, Kylie Minogue. You're here on the Carson Couch with Thomas and Byron on Joy 94.9. And that last song was a request from our producer, Alan Tuxford. That goes out to you, Alan. Before that, we heard the Scream 3 version of Red Right Hand, again by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and at the top, Song for Jesse by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis. And that concludes our Nick Cave music, film music tribute, and that concludes our Melbourne music show. Oh, we got there, Byron.
Yes, we did.
We had a big show. And I'm just so thrilled that you and I agreed on the film.
Yeah, I know. It was good, finally.
And it's a pity the listeners couldn't hear us talking off air, because we discovered we do agree on actually quite a lot of
stuff. Quite a lot of films, yes.
We just had polar opposites today on the show, but good fun.
It happens.
Good, robust discussion and debate. It's what it's all about. Hey, we've got some winners. We've given away a copy of the September issue.
Yep, and five double passes to see The Road.
To see The Road, yeah.
Yes.
Now, the winner is getting the DVD and a double pass, and that is Stephen from South Yarra. Congratulations, Stephen. Now, the runner-ups who will all get a double pass to The Road are Neil from Armidale, Leonie from Kensington, Brian from West Melbourne, and Judy from Kensington. I do hope that you all enjoy The Road. If not, Byron will be sympathetic.
Yes, I will. I will sympathise.
You will sympathise. Byron, thank you so much for coming on and
thank
looking
you.
After the co-presenter position today on the couch.
You're welcome.
We will hear you again very soon, no doubt. Next week, I'll be back with Maureen, so she'll be filling in. Thank you, Alan, our producer. First time on the microphone to tell us all about the September issue. It went swimmingly. And again, just pushing all the buttons throughout the show and organising the show throughout the week. Big thank you to Murray for looking after the news, Warren on the front desk, and everybody who listened and got in touch with us. It's wonderful. Stick on Joy 94.9 because the night is really just beginning. A Touch of Pink is up next with Dick and Chris and Cam. Mixing it up, three of them at once.
Yes.
It's going to be a crazy night.
The foreplay becomes a threesome.
I can't beat that. You have been listening to Byron and Thomas on the Casting Couch, Joy 94.9. Good night.
Good morning, Mr. Phelps. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. Should you or any member of your IM force be caught or killed, the Secretary will disavow all knowledge of your actions.
The Casting Couch, Joy 94.9's premier movie show.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.